There is nothing better for family life than enjoying the blessings of our Lord. And friends, that's what we are going to dive into today. We are going to take a few minutes together and walk through the very beginning of Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, where he shares eight blessings, eight beatitudes, if you want to get into the maybe old-fashioned language. But these beatitudes are famous for a reason, and they are blessings that the Lord is offering to every Christian. He's offering it to you and to your marriage and to your kids and to your whole family. And so as we seek together here on the Love Your People Well podcast to try to enjoy family life by strengthening these relationships, figuring out how to manage all the junk that can get in the way, the emotions and the conflict and the communication breakdowns and the mom guilt, all the things that want to get in the way of enjoying family life. We're going to look at the other end of that spectrum, the blessings and the incredible gift that Jesus has waiting, that he is offering to you and your family. So I am excited for this conversation. If you tuned in over the past few weeks to the podcast, you might have heard me mention that I've been working on our Faith Fiverr Club challenge, diving deep this month into these eight beatitudes and not just thinking about what they are, but how to live them out. And we have kicked that off. It's not too late to join us if you want to over in the Patreon community. But we've kicked that off. And as I've been prepping that and studying and thinking and praying, and I'm excited to take some action steps toward the blessing that the Lord has for me and for my family and for you and your family. And so that's why today we're going to spend a few minutes together here in the Gospel of Matthew in the very beginning of chapter 5 and the eight blessings that Jesus offers us. So welcome again. This is the Love Your People Well podcast, where we are all about enjoying family life by building healthy, happy, and holy family relationships. And I'm your host, Jess Hayes. I'm a marriage and family therapist, a pastor's wife, a mom of four little ones, and I love to dive into God's Word, but I particularly love finding action steps, like taking the insight and the aha moments, and you know, just those are fun, those are enjoyable. Kind of figuring out why things are happening or how to make them better. But it's the doing it, the action steps that actually change things. And I am passionate about that. And so, that's why we're going there over in the Patreon community, looking at action steps to live out these beatitudes. So again, you are, of course, invited to join us over there. The Patreon community supports this podcast and comes with a lot of extra perks, including these monthly challenges that we are doing through 2024. There's a private podcast to go with that and a personal workbook you can download and work through. Lots of good stuff there. And while I'm at it, I'll just remind you that there are also a lot of great freebies over on the website. At loveyourpeoplewell.com, you can find some devotionals that I've written. You can find a lot of great free resources, a really in-depth blog into a lot of different family relationship topics. There's a lot of good stuff there. So grab the resources that are the most help to you and to your family. And no matter where you are at in that journey, God's Word, the Bible, is going to be the number one resource. And I don't have that on the website. You'll find a lot of scripture, but I don't sell Bibles on the website. But we will dive into God's Word together right now. So here in the Sermon on the Mount, the very first beatitude that Jesus highlights, it tells us that he saw a crowd and went up on a mountainside. He sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he starts by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And that, on the surface, I don't think that sounds super appealing. As a modern person, nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to be poor in spirit. And of course, we need to look at this by trying to understand, what did Jesus mean when he was talking 2,000 plus years ago to his disciples and the entire crowd? What did it mean to be poor in spirit? Because each of these blessings comes with a specific promise. And this one is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, if you're familiar at all with Jesus's teachings, he talks a lot, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, about how the kingdom of heaven is here. He, Jesus, is bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And later in the Sermon on the Mount, he shares what we now call the Lord's Prayer, which includes a prayer that that we will honor him and love him, and you know, the kingdom of heaven will come to earth. On earth as it is in heaven, we will be praising God and living for God. And that happens as we are poor in spirit. So this is such a great blessing with our families, because we are poor in spirit when we recognize who we are and who God is and how incredibly different we are. He is so big, so perfect. He is all-knowing. He is all-sufficient. And we are poor and weak and needy. And when I think about the goal that we have here on the Love Your People Well podcast, to enjoy family life through those deep relationships, our marriage and our parenting, to build a fruitful faith and enjoy a happy marriage and joyful parenting, and manage, like I said before, manage all that junk that tries to get in the way, the emotions and the conflict. All of that points us toward this poverty of spirit, that we struggle with our emotions, but God doesn't. And we deal with conflict and breakdowns in communication, and we lose our temper, or we struggle to be honest, and God does not struggle with any of that. And when we are poor in spirit, we are recognizing his glory and his awesomeness and how much we need him. Because my friend, we will not enjoy family life. We will not enjoy a happy marriage and deep, purposeful, joyful parenting if we're doing it in our own strength. It is all through God's strength, God's wisdom. We need him desperately. And as we recognize that and lean into that and live from that place of being poor in spirit, we get to enjoy that blessing of the kingdom of heaven and the goodness and the glory and the wonder, the joy and the peace that comes with that. And what an incredible gift that is. But guess what, friend? Jesus isn't done. That's only number one. He goes on now. That was verse 3. Then in verse 4, he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And once again, that is countercultural. Nobody wants to mourn. That is not fun. It is not enjoyable. We're talking about enjoying family life. Why would we be mourning? But when we think about that flow that Jesus is walking through, mourning is the only right response to recognizing how poor in spirit we are, recognizing the depth of our sin, allowing the Holy Spirit to convict us of that. That calls for healthy biblical mourning, to lament that, to grieve our sin and how of course it first and foremost is a sin against God. But how often do we see this in our family relationships? There is plenty of not only opportunity, but rightness in mourning when we see how our sin is impacting our kids or our husband. I talk on this podcast often about the struggle that a lot of us Christian moms have with managing our emotions, that we are losing our patience or yelling, or, you know, we're just, that's a really common struggle, especially in parenting, and maybe especially when your kids are little and they require a lot more help. It's pretty exhausting. You know, emotions can be really tough. And every time that I lose my patience with my kids, or I raise my voice at my kids, or I yell at my kids, I want to mourn that. I don't want that to become some normal thing that I can just say, oh, whoops, made a mistake. Okay, moving on. That is not good for my soul, but it's definitely also not good for my relationship with my kids. I need to mourn, and they need to see me mourn the sin and the brokenness of the world. When other people hurt us, the right thing to do, the healthy biblical thing to do, is to mourn. And the Lord is so gracious that here He promises us He will comfort us when we are mourning. We comfort others out of the comfort we receive. It says that later on in the New Testament, in some of the epistles, the letters. We comfort our kids. We comfort our husbands. We receive comfort for others, from others, I should say. There's a lot of ways the Lord does this. But if we are not recognizing that poverty of spirit and then mourning the brokenness and the sin that is in our family and all around us, then we're not really going to receive the comfort and the blessing that that is. Let me interrupt our conversation just for a moment to invite you to join me over in the Faith Fiverr Club. This is our private community where every month we go deep into a different topic of family life. With a private podcast, a personal workbook, month by month, encouragement and resources, join us at patreon.com/loveyourpeoplewell. All right, let's get back to our conversation. And the Lord continues now with another blessing. He says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And I have never met a Christian mom who wants to be called meek. That is not a word that our modern culture enjoys or desires or praises, but our Lord and Savior blesses those who are meek. He says that is a good thing. You will inherit the earth with biblical meekness. And a lot of how I think about that actually comes from a Jen Wilkins study on the Sermon on the Mount that I did last summer, not that long ago, with some ladies from my church. And she really highlighted and helped me to understand how this meekness, it's the same meekness that Christ showed. As we jump ahead into Philippians chapter 2, where it talks about how Christ is so humble to leave heaven and come to earth and to serve us, that is, He is meek. He is submitting Himself to God. He's not demanding the glory that He is due. He is not demanding of how people will treat Him or think about Him. And as His followers, His friends, as part of God's family, we are blessed if we do the same, if we submit ourselves to God and trust that He will give us justice, He will protect us, He will do what is right. And we're not submitting ourselves to every whim and fancy of the culture around us, like we're doormats that they can just walk over. We are purposefully and intentionally submitting to God and allowing Him to be in charge. And He promises us right here in Matthew 5, verse 5, that we are blessed by that we will inherit the earth. We will inherit everything and far more than we could ever hope for or imagine if we submit ourselves to God in that biblical meekness. It continues here with another blessing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This was one that I really enjoyed writing out the challenge that I was mentioning before in the Faith Fiver Club, living out the Beatitudes. I really enjoyed thinking about how do we hunger and thirst for righteousness, and then how does that play out in our words and our actions and our decisions and our family interactions, that we are longing for righteousness, the things of God. Just that visual, because we all get hungry and we all thirst for something. We long for it. We are desperate for it. We're not quite right until we get it. And if that thing we are hungering for is righteousness, God Himself, what a blessing we receive. How much more can we enjoy our family relationships when we are hungering for righteousness? And we can trust, my friend, that the Lord will fill us as we hunger for, thirst for, pursue, and run after the righteousness of God. He has a few more blessings here that I want to highlight for us as we consider just how incredible these blessings are and what they can look like for our families. He continues next to say, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." If there is anything that moms want to be good at, it is figuring out that balance of showing mercy to our kids and showing justice and giving the appropriate consequences. And that is a really hard line to walk as a parent. And I think for a lot of us, it's really helpful to be reminded that we are particularly blessed when we are merciful. And that does not mean that we just let our kids get away with stuff, that we just sweep it under the rug, you know, avoid conflict, keep the peace. That is not the type of mercy that the Lord is talking about here. We are showing others mercy when they make mistakes, when they screw up, when they sin, when they mess things up. If we are recognizing our own sin, how poor in spirit we are, we're mourning that, we're submitting ourselves to God, and we're seeking, pursuing, hungering for righteousness and a new way of living, we're being filled by the Holy Spirit, we are experiencing God's mercy in that. And we will treat others the way that we have been treated. If we are realizing how much we've received God's mercy, it's so much easier to show it to our children. And it becomes just this beautiful circle of blessing that we're receiving it from the Lord and showing it to our kids, to our husband, to our friends, to ourselves when we mess up, when we have that mom guilt that kicks in. And as we show that mercy, we receive even more. We get that blessing that we are shown mercy. It's just a beautiful cycle of receiving and then giving and receiving and giving, and just how the Lord equips us to make that happen. We cannot enjoy family life without a great deal of mercy. Being willing to forgive, being willing to show grace, being willing to move forward. Such a blessing for our relationships. And it continues here, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." The pure in heart. This little part of the Beatitudes always makes me think of Colossians chapter 3, right at the beginning, one of my favorite sections in the Bible, where it talks about how we should focus our thoughts and our hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And I think, I don't know, at least for me, that always really connects when I think about how, what does it mean to be pure in heart? How can I live that out? Because it can feel really far away as a goal when I'm feeling busy and stressed and overwhelmed, let alone I'm losing my patience or I'm trying to teach my kids something that they're struggling with. It comes back to my heart, not the things I'm doing, the tasks that are getting done, but but the purity of my heart. Am I thinking about, focusing on, pursuing those things of God? That is how my heart is purified. We see this in, what's that psalm? Psalm 51, I believe it is, where David is just confessing his sin with Bathsheba. He's confessing to the Lord and he's asking the Lord, create in me a clean heart, a pure heart. Because David knows that is how we get this blessing. Jesus promises that we will see God. It is that purity that we receive from Christ that gives us access to see God. And we can see him in our family relationships and our family life so much more when we have that purity of heart. Because he's present. That's where we see the fruit of the Spirit coming alive, the love and joy and peace and patience that were promised. All of that, those are signs of God. Seeing him at work in our life and in our family. Blessed are the pure in heart. But there are two more that we're going to highlight here. He moves forward then, Jesus does, to say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And again, one of the things Jen Wilkin really highlighted, I really did enjoy that study from her, the Sermon on the Mount study. And she highlighted how these blessings build on each other. There's like that internal experience, poor in spirit and mourning and meekness. And then we start living that out in relationship. What are we hungering for? Showing mercy, purity of heart. And we make peace. We engage with the messiness and the brokenness of the world, offering the peace that Christ himself has brought. We've experienced that peace, and we want to offer that to others. And as we pursue that and share that, and we live in a relationship of peace with the Lord, with ourselves, with our family, with those around us, we are called children of God. And I just really like that idea of being a peacemaker, because we all know life is full of trouble and conflict and a lack of peace. We have to be intentionally active to make peace. And we can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do that because Jesus has brought the ultimate peace in our relationship with God, and we can now bring that to others and allow him to change our marriage, change our relationship with our kids, to bring peace that only the Holy Spirit can bring. And the final blessing here is definitely not one we think of as a blessing, that the Lord says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he actually repeats this a few times. He goes on then to say, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. But all of those point back to that final blessing here, that we are blessed when we are persecuted for Jesus' sake. When we are insulted and injustices are happening to us and we are struggling and we are suffering because of righteousness, we have a great reward in heaven. We receive the kingdom of heaven, which you might recall is actually the same blessing at the very beginning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I will note, I'm reading the NIV, so your translation might say something a little different, but I think that's purposeful. We are poor in spirit, recognizing our dependence on God, our need for God. And as we live into that, we're going to experience persecution. And we will receive the kingdom of heaven, the great reward for which we are willing to endure persecution. And I know, again, that does not make us naturally think about, oh, enjoying family life, deep relationships, we're going to be persecuted. But when our family is built on the foundation of Christ, and that is the foundation of our relationships, we're going to look different than the world around us. And that's for God's glory. But not everyone's going to understand that. Not everyone is going to agree with that or like that. And so to one degree or another, we can expect that there will be persecution. And we can also be confident that the Holy Spirit will be with us in that and through that. And we can rejoice and be glad, for great is our reward in heaven. And I know that when we think about heaven, when we think ahead to the glory and the joy that is before us, that can really help us enjoy our relationships today, enjoy the time that we have with our sweet little ones, our time with our family. We can enjoy that in a different way when we look ahead at the great reward that is coming. So friends, I hope that this look through these blessings from the Lord have been encouraging for you. If you do want to go deeper with us into thinking about not just what are these blessings, but how do we live that out and get some encouragement and community and challenging action steps and journaling things and all of those goodies, you are definitely invited to join us in the Faith Fiverr Club for our 45-day challenge, a month and a half this time, for living out the Beatitudes. And again, that's inside our Patreon community for those who support the Love Your People Well podcast. I am so thankful for those of you who are a part of that community. And you can join us. It's over at Patreon, all the links and all that. That's on the website. That's there in the show notes. But again, we do have that free resources page over at loveyourpeoplewell.com, including a free Bible and prayer challenge. If you just want to spend more time in the Word and get more comfortable with reading God's Word, understanding it, talking to Him in prayer, that is a great place to start. And it's totally free. It's the Holy Habits 45-Day Bible and Prayer Challenge. And as I said before, there's devotionals and plenty of other good stuff there as well. All of that is at loveyourpeoplewell.com. And we'll be back next week to continue walking through some of these big picture ideas from the Sermon on the Mount and helping us enjoy our family relationships and deepen them and strengthen them through the wisdom and the goodness of our Lord. So thank you for being here. I hope you have subscribed to the show so it pops up there in your library. And I would encourage you as well to copy the link to this episode and text it to a friend. That is a great way to grow the show, but also way more than that, to encourage a specific friend, a specific someone in your life who would be blessed by considering a little more deeply these 8 blessings from the Lord. So that's a great way to encourage your friends and share with them. But friends, we will be back next week with more biblical encouragement and practical tips to help you love your people well. So until then, hugs and blessings to you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. I'm so glad you joined me today for this episode of the Love Your People Well podcast. If you found it helpful or encouraging, please leave a written review to encourage me, but also to help the show grow. You can even copy the link to this episode and text it to a friend. Don't forget to grab all your resources at loveyourpeoplewell.com and join us inside the Faith Fiverr Club for extra perks every week.